Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about The Garden of Words, which was a random choice for this week.
Really? I figured you were the one that chose it.
No, it was a random. The random website chose it, and I just happened to carry that choice over. So, I mean, if you want to.
Like, who chooses anything nowadays?
Not me. But before that, we were talking about the first shows we ever watched, the first anime we ever watched, the only call I will ever pick up, no matter what. I mean, like, even if I'm getting arrested, that phone's getting picked up for that person. And if you want to catch a part of that wider conversation, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast, $1 a month will get you all that bonus content and more. Now, on to the meat and potatoes. The Garden of Words is a movie that came out in May 2013. The producers for it are The Answer Studio and Toho Animation. Studio for it is Calmix Wave Films. It's an original, and the genres are drama, romance, and slice of life. And it only runs about 46 minutes, so it's basically an extended episode.
It feels a lot longer than 46 minutes, though, and not in a bad way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I understand completely what you mean. This is not a dialogue heavy movie. It is more so visual and just sensory on the environment than anything else.
On the environment,
they focus heavily on the rain and the steps in the rain as well. So whenever there's rain happening or anything having to do with rain, they really kind of focus in on that sound. And for the first few minutes, you only have like two or three lines, him talking about the rain, and then you just hear ambient noises and rain and the steps.
Rain has a lot to do with it. Rain has a lot to do with the show. It's honestly the only driving point we have to signify the change in seasons and days and the progression of the characters. So the opening, I would say the opening of the movie was the most interesting to me, and it had me perplexed for the longest. Of course, until I finished watching the movie, but I hit the pause button and I was trying to guess what was going to happen. I was trying to predict, if you will, what was going to happen with who, and I was wrong. I was wrong most of the time.
But I mean,
I wasn't mad about it being wrong.
Right. No, this is a movie where you could honestly just kind of put it on in the background and just kind of enjoy it. Mm-hmm. That's one of the plus sides of it. It's that it's not really that in depth. You can watch it surface level, still get it, but the artwork in it, the animation for it, for the environment, it's insane. It's great. When it comes to the characters, it's just like kind of, they're there. They exist, but you get the feeling, or at least I got the feeling that this really wasn't the focus. Like they blew the budget on the scenery and the background and everything else.
Scenery and music.
Yes.
But
when it was there, I mean, it was prominent and it was,
when it was there,
it was meaningful.
Deliberate.
Yes.
It was an asset. Nothing was out of sight. Nothing was out of sync. The music was on point. Now, as far as the background being almost overproduced, if you will. I don't even know what you would want to describe the emotion they put into that, but it was all over the place. It was chaotic at times. It was crystal clear, like almost a picture. I actually read something recently that most artists, when they do, unless they're doing ultra realism, they're not going for a realistic picture. They want you to see the imperfections. They want you to see the time it went in. They want you to see the smudge that you erased 45 times. But I feel like we kind of got that here. Like, they weren't perfect, but they were jaw dropping. The colors they threw in there, you'll never see those in life. You'll never see those in real life. And it's just really, really cool. And a lot of the stuff they're doing with their hands and putting on paper, I thought was either CGI or like a master cartoonist. Well, while they were going upside down, sideways, and backwards, they were still talking. And whenever you'd see someone's mouth or whoever they were talking to or talking at or being spoken to, the lips matched, you know?
Yeah. No, I understand. Honestly, a lot of the animation's all done through CGI or computer. So now it's not really pen and paper anymore or pencil and paper. In fact, when there are shows that are like that, they're so far and few in between. In fact, it's almost like a luxury to be able to witness an anime done these days like that, you know?
True. Well, I mean, don't hold me to it, but I think the last show that was 100% drawn by hand was The Little Mermaid. Granted, a quick Google search will find it.
Well, no, but I mean, we've honestly talked about it before. I think actually more modernly up until fairly recently was probably One Piece for the longest time.
It's possible.
Or at least it was up until, I don't know, within the last 5 years. But
I haven't seen it in like 5 years.
Yeah. But if you want to go within the last like decade, I know that Naruto was, I think.
Maybe. I don't have too much information on it, to be honest. I just assumed that people out here would just be easier to manipulate code than it would be to draw. Because I don't know if you ever tried drawing something. It takes effort, time, and just diligence. Whereas coding, it doesn't really change all that much. You know, you take a 4 year, 2 year, whatever it is, and
hang on. I'm a little confused. So do you think it takes no effort to be able to code something versus not?
Never said that.
Okay. Cause I mean,
no, what I was saying was the process for coding really doesn't change all that much. Whereas the drawing changes all the time. Like so typing on a computer, I can run a string of codes, right?
Depends. And that code, depends what you're typing it in, what language the program's going to use, what type of program it needs to use, what type of language are you going to be typing in? There are so many different variations and evolutions and everything.
This is true. But what I'm trying to get at is the corrections are much easier. If you draw something and you're like, crap, that's the wrong red, you can go and find that code where it's red and be like, I want red number 4, click, and now it can't change. And you're like, okay, that makes sense.
So you do know that color codes on there aren't just a simple 1, 2, 3, 4, right?
I know, but I'm making it much more complex than that
for colors, right?
Of course. When I was going to high school, we actually had a program that ran with a little turtle that taught you that. But it also taught you that one line of code can wreck everything.
Yes.
And one line of code will change the color scheme.
Okay. So what are you trying to get at though? Are you saying like what? It's easier to just not write a line of code because that's not what you're doing. You're choosing a color and then you can undo to remove that color. Or you can delete. Is that what you're saying?
Imagine you're on the last portion drawing this thing, right? Drawing a picture. Mm-hmm. And everything's perfect except for the last little corner. Well, if you smudge it with an eraser or you just keep drawing, it's going to be the same effect. That whole page is done. You can't just like solidly erase it and start over on that little corner, can you? You made a mistake while drawing a big...
Are you talking about like on paper versus drawing on a tablet or something? I mean, you can still make mistakes. I mean, there is no perfection when you're drawing. When it comes to art or things like that, there is no perfection. It's not like they're clicking it and going, oh, I'm all done. Just paint bucket, drop it in there, moving on with your life. No, there's artwork, there's effort, there's, you know, layers amongst layers. And it's like you could just sit there and do it. Oh, delete. And it's the same thing as when you're drawing it on paper, you're still going to sit there, do it and delete, except instead of it being like delete, it's erase, smudge, paint over, redo it, throw on some white spackle, start all over from scratch for that spot. And then you're remixing your paints and everything. Like, get that perfect texture, the perfect look. It all depends on what you're trying to do. Like the artwork behind it all, and no matter what you're doing, is just so deep and profound. It doesn't matter if it's on a computer or on a piece of paper. period. It's like each have their benefits and each have their drawbacks. There is no one better over the other.
I guess. I mean, you're not wrong. But in my head, the way that it would work is, let's say they want a realistic picture. They want a realistic image. They'll take a snapshot of the area and they'll scan it into a computer and have it rendered.
Yeah. And then they can sit there and duplicate it and modify it and change it and everything like that for it.
True. And it'll be a lot easier than starting from scratch.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think that they're crisp enough.
Crisp enough. I mean, crisp doesn't exactly do it justice. I mean,
no, it's detail. It's pristine. It looks good. It looks manufactured, obviously, because of the color scheme. But you'll see super detail. Like there's purples, there's blues, and I realize that makes it sound so simple. But when you look at a sidewalk and the rain reflects off of the water that's puddling on top of the stones, you see the slight hint of a hue of what the stones look like, and the images on the water that's being reflected back, all those colors are extremely vivid that almost match, but don't quite match the picture you see above the puddle. You know, like yes. It's attention to detail like that, that if you're hand drawing, it might be a little bit more difficult. Because I agree that you just crumple it up and move on to the next one. But when you type it in the computer, you can alter all that stuff. And if you make a mistake, it's still on your computer. You can just alter it.
I'm having difficulty trying to fathoming like how you're trying to describe it versus one versus the other. Like
one's easier to edit, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
By hand, editing is essentially replacing the whole thing. Whereas with a computer, editing is, this line of code's wrong, let's fix it.
Well, it's, again, you keep bringing up a line of code. It's not a matter of line of code when you're trying to draw or create an art like this. They're not sitting there trying to type code. They're drawing. They have a stylus. They have a pen. They're sitting there. They're actually using a tablet, specialized, formatted for it specifically, drawing on there for it. It's not them typing it up. I mean, like, if they're able to type it up and have it come like that, bro, that's next level.
Well, that's where the scanner comes in. They scan the image and then they alter it afterwards. Again, this is just my hypotheticals. I'm not a coder. I'm not a designer. It's above my intellectual pay grade, I believe. But from what I understand,
I was going to say, those are totally different things.
But from what so when I was in high school, we had a program that did something very similar.
To what?
And so I assumed, to creating an image, you'd scan an image in and you can alter the picture.
That's photoshopping. That's just editing an image. That's not coding. That's not designing. Those are those three things. Well, then, those are all three different things. Like Photoshop actually wasn't even called Photoshop. It's just like you're editing a photo or photo editing. Photoshop became a verb because of the popularity of the program itself. So I'm using it as a general. You're doctoring up a photo. You're changing the photo that you had a physical form of. Code, you're not going in there and writing a line of code to alter that image. You're just modifying an image that was already made within specific parameters. But again, you're not designing, because the designing is something else entirely on top of that.
So how would you do any kind of computer graphics to enhance an image? Let's say you did it in this movie. How would you go about doing that? Would you just have a scanning start, or would you start with a blank slate? These are questions that I'm very curious about, actually, because I assumed
it was much more simple. Scanning start? I mean, like, are you saying, like, if I were the one that had the artistic ability to be able to draw that?
Yeah. No. Would you start with a blank piece of a blank screen, or would you have a template already on there?
Blank screen. Like,
scanned in.
Because I would be going off of what I'm being told I needed to create for this. I need you to create a cityscape for this. Well, what kind of cityscape? Most of the time, when they're trying to create realistic backgrounds, when it comes to cities or towns or anything like that, even when it comes to school, a lot of artists, or at least when it comes to anime, they'll actually reference, like, you can actually take pictures from those streets, street views in any anime, and you can actually find a live version of it. They'll actually just take a look at that street and they'll just copy it from that. They'll just modify it enough to change their what they need. So if there's not a street going off to the right and they needed to have a street that's going off to the right, they'll draw in that extra street going off to the right. and just change how the buildings are looking, or maybe add new different buildings.
Yeah, it's far more in depth than I assumed.
But really?
You could probably just disregard. Yeah, because I assumed it was much, much more simple.
For like drawing or?
No, I thought drawing was more complicated. I mean, because if you made, in my opinion, if you made a mistake while drawing, you have to start over. If you made a mistake while doing this with scanning, coding, whatever it's called, because apparently I'm not saying it right. I figured that was simpler because you can make the correction and your overall product was still there.
I mean, you can, you know, you still have to be careful about how you're doing it. Typically when they're doing things like that, they're creating it in layers. So they're drawing one layer, then adding another layer and drawing that, add another layer, draw that. So that way they're not meshing it all together. They're able to like affect that one thing. So I'm only drawing clouds. That's going to be its own thing. So I can make everything else disappear and just have the clouds there and affect only the clouds. That's why I keep saying layers, because it's my limited knowledge, my understanding, and from my personal uses, that's the best way to do it, is you do it in layers. So that way you can individually affect each element. So you draw it and you affect it individually. How they used to do it, it would be roughly the same way in hand drawing. They would have certain elements hand drawn on a clear screen, and then they would have the background, and then they would just mirror that on top of each one. And so that way they would only have to have one thing that was being affected by whatever they're drawing. They were effectively creating layers that they would only have to draw.
Interesting.
So
I mean, it makes sense, and it's not my field. Long story short,
I looked into doing it, and I was like, bro, this is way too complicated. I'm moving on with my life.
Long story short, I severely underestimated the value of the artists taking care of these backgrounds.
Yeah. Well, that's also why you can easily tell when something's supposed to move. The animation or the color of it's different, because it's not meant to be a static background. It was something put there after the fact that you can tell is supposed to be moved. So when you're looking at something, the animation tends to be a little bit more, not muted, not matte, but a little bit more vibrant, a little bit more pop, a little bit more cartoonish rather than realistic, so to speak, because it's like, yes, that is going to be a keen indicator. That is likely going to be something that moves. Likely.
I remember watching that in like Wile E. Coyote shows, but I don't remember that seeing that in more modern.
Oh no, it's shows. It's up until fairly recently, you can even tell when something's like that, unless it's like we're talking the last like 15 years for anime, then it's largely disappeared because it's all digital and CG.
True.
I mean, like, honestly, it just, the animation, the artwork for this is just so phenomenal. It really kind of makes you want to delve into it and just like, bro, it's great. It looks,
you know, it's super in depth, and it's super, the story's not lackluster, but it's overshadowed immensely by how crisp and clean everything looks. Now, the thing I didn't get drawing wise, let's call it, was the backgrounds and the scenery was crisp and clear, but they had a really hard time drawing a foot.
Well, that's why I said, you know, they blew the budget on the background and scenery. When it came to the people, they were just like kind of bleh, eh. What's his name? He's the intern. Yeah. Does he draw kind of people? Yeah. Have him do the people.
Legs don't look like that. Legs aren't supposed to be drawn that way, kind of thing.
So homeboy. Okay, so our main character, our protagonist in the show, to go back to it. Takeo is just like this 15-year-old kid who just like goes to the park every day. It rains. It's like, oh, this is my excuse to go to the rain. I don't know about you. I sure as hell couldn't get away with that. Just like, oh, it rained. I just randomly disappeared just because it's raining. Why? Because I can.
Yeah, not even a little bit. I'd have been expelled. Yeah. And it's kind of funny because that's actually touched upon. Like, how have you not failed your classes for missing so much? And he explains it away only to find out, yeah, he failed. Flunked out.
I mean, like, he still can make it up and everything like that, but he's just...
Yeah, he could.
But the teacher even calls him in. He's like, I'm assuming you know why I called you here. It's like, nah! Bruh, I have no idea why you called me here. Is it because I have...
my drawings.
Exactly. You know what? You knew I have this lifelong dream to be a shoemaker, a cobbler, I think is what they're called.
Yes, sir.
And I have a foot fetish. You saw that I was staring at your feet with that hole in your sock. Just kind of. Yes. Yeah. Can I touch your feet? No, don't, let me just take it off and touch your feet, sir.
Throw it away. Fair enough. Fair enough. But he ends up making his own moccasins. I remember when I was growing up, we used to make moccasins. You get a whole like self-starter kit that will come with a certain size of moccasin. And if you did a good job, they lasted like, you know, months. If you did a bad job, they lasted, you know, minutes. And you always have to tie them off. And you always like, I don't get why it's so bad at first. And then after about a month and a half of wearing them, they're the most comfortable things you could ever hope for.
Right.
Oh,
I mean,
she was skipping.
Well, it's not that she was skipping. She was on leave because of the stresses that were actually happening. And this is the one thing that I don't understand. So a bunch of kids and remember we had a email talk about the honor in Japan when it comes to things like that, right? Not creating problems or issues for the school or for the families or anything like that. I don't remember me talking about that from a letter that we had gotten, but they actually touch on that in this. So Takeo is going to this park, and there's this lady that's sitting there every day that he is, Yukino, and you find out later on that she's actually a teacher, but the reason why she wasn't going to school, and the reason why she was eating a ton of chocolate and eating a ton of chocolate and drinking a bunch of beer, it's because that's all she could taste. And it has to do with her psychological well-being. So she was basically attacked verbally and everyone had ganged up on her because a student actually had a crush on her. So the girls decided to say that, spread all these rumors and attack her and call her names and things like that. And her boyfriend, who also worked at the school, didn't even listen to her side of the story. Like, she was sitting there telling him the truth, and the teacher didn't believe her because all these students were against her, and they touched on it. It's like, well, why didn't they go to the police? Why didn't this? And it's like, oh, they didn't want to cause a problem for the school. It's like,
well, understandable.
I don't know about you, but you know, I'd be calling the goddamn police. Bullshit. Bullshit. The thing I don't 100%. Understand is Takeo. He goes to try and stand up to them, right? And homeboy socks him, is like kicking him around, just like, you know, pushing him around like he's a rag doll. Dude lands right by a fire extinguisher. Dude, if I'm fighting in school, I'm pulling that fire extinguisher and then I'm spraying you and beating you with it. I will make you regret your decision. I don't care. Bigger or smarter? I don't care. Fire extinguisher will help me.
If you're bigger, you just make a bigger target.
Right? But,
make your weak points even that much larger. Right. Got a big jaw, plenty to hit. Weak heart, I know where I'm aiming.
Right? So, but what I don't understand is, like, does Takeo just randomly walk around with, like, all the measuring tools, tape, and everything like that, just to measure feet randomly? It's like, does he just, like, randomly go up to people and, like, hey, can I measure your feet, please? Can I just, like, have you take off your shoe and just let me get your measurements here?
I just want to trace it just one time, right? Between you and me.
I mean,
he was super skinny too, which kind of threw me off because the legs did not justify what I envisioned.
What, for her?
Yeah.
Dude, she got thick thighs. So what?
Do they save lives?
They saved his.
True. Very true.
Just remember that. Thick thighs save lives, all right? Say it with me. Thick thighs save lives. All right, fine. Don't.
If you say so.
Don't. That's cool.
Thick thighs save the phone from hitting the toilet seat and going the wrong way. That's what thick thighs do.
All right, then.
Thick thighs just promote, as you're driving with your phone on your lap, to fall into that crevice in between the driver's seat and the center column.
So, totally not the direction I was expecting you to go, but we'll go with that. That's cool. I mean, like, hey, like I said, thick thighs save lives, because you shouldn't be on your phone while you're driving anyways there, Rick.
You know, we we're not allowed to have a handheld device, so you put the GPS straight on your thigh, you know? I've seen Uber drivers do it. I've seen officers do it, to be honest. But it also is functional, especially when you have the audio playing. You could just, you know, listen to us argue back and forth about thick thighs. and then when you're laughing, you're jovial, you're happy. Of course, you're going to jitter. You might hit a little bit of a speed bump, a little going too fast. That phone's just going to fly off your leg right there and just go into no man's land between, you know, the seat and the center column. And then when you go dig it out, you're like, there's my credit card. I was missing that. And then dig a little further. You're like, George, is that you? Goodness.
Let me know George when you see Takeo, yeah. Man. I need some new shoes. You should be down there designing them for
right?
me.
I was going to say, that's when you see George. He's the guy. He's with the guy in the yellow hat. Or he was, but then he got curious and then got stuck in your car.
Yep.
So, been living on the fries that keep falling down there.
The fries that never go bad. You can dig them out six, 7 months later. They still look perfectly fine, just a little hard.
Yeah. I forget which country basically kicked McDonald's out. But they got a museum for it where they're like, this is the last burger from McDonald's ever sold on this property. It's 40 something years old. Looks fresh as the day was made.
That, sir, is quality.
You know, quality that lasts.
Indeed. Well, I mean, granted, majority of this conversation wasn't actually about the show, but that's all right. I mean, it wasn't much of a movie or to talk about. I mean, like, it was short. Well, it was an extended episode. But we really dove into the artwork, which I think is the real winner here for the show or movie.
Well, why do you think the artwork was better than the story?
Personally, because the artwork was just mind-blowing. The story was simple. It was nice. It was elegant. I'm not saying that the story was bad. I'm just saying it left a little bit to be desired for me personally.
I mean, for me personally, I wish they would have changed some ages a little bit, you know, because we got a 24, 27-year-old teacher?
27-year-old teacher and a 15-year-old boy.
Yeah, something tells me that that's not going to last, and that's illegal in some states.
Well, this is Japan.
Most states.
This is Japan. So
I get it, but like,
you have to understand cultural differences. Not only that, they are not together and she moves. So, I mean, we're okay.
Fair. Yeah. I don't know. It just seemed a bit sus, if you will.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
Yeah. But either way, it opened with a, what's it called? A tenkai?
Takeo?
It's not, huh?
Are you talking about
Takeo? What she opened with, what she started with, her first sentence.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tenka?
Yeah.
Tenka. Yeah. I actually had to look up what that was to make sure that I understood what it was, because I thought it was like a haiku, but it's not.
Well, they haiku. Even said that. They even said that. What is that, a haiku? Know, no, it's not. Like,
that's how I understood what it was, and I had to look it up to find out what it was. And it was, it's every show that makes me learn is not necessarily the worst show in the world, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I liked it. I would recommend it to other people. So,
yeah, no, I understand. I'm right there with you.
I mean, that was my only real gripe. So if you want to go into a rating, I'm okay with it.
All right. Yeah. Let's do it. So on a scale of up to 10, sir, how would you rate this?
7. Solid card imagery, but the story was a bit lackluster.
Okay.
Yeah, I wish I could say more. It played on the whole student-teacher dynamic, even if they didn't know each other was a student and or teacher. I don't know. It didn't sit right with me. The story didn't sit right. The animation style, like you said, was amazing. I loved the music. It was monumental at times and eye-wrenching.
Yeah.
But it was the story that kind of ruined it for me, and especially at the end. So.
All right. Yeah, for me, I'm going with a 5, middle of the road.
Oh, really?
I wouldn't really watch it again. It was more of like an OVA than a movie. It's just an extended episode. The artwork was great. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it is something that you could put on the background and just have play and totally not miss anything. But at the same time, you could put it on the background and miss absolutely nothing. And even the fact that it played, you would probably just forget that it was even there. So
I wish I'd have known that, because I'd have been playing it on the... So it came with sub, dub, all that good stuff. But if I'd have known that, I'd have probably played it on dub and then had it in the background.
Right.
Oh, man. But the good news is it is a short show. It's only 45 minutes, like you were saying.
Yep.
So it's easily consumable. I recommend it. Looks good. If you can get around the slightly pedo vibes that the teacher's throwing off, you know, 27, 15.
Yeah,
I mean, like, if you can get around that, it's a good show. It's a good story. It's overall good.
It is good. That's about it. I mean,
yeah.
It's good. All right. Okay. So,
all right, next week's episode
is a recommendation to us by a happily married gamer from our Discord. And it is Corpse Princess. That's what he says we should watch. So we're gonna watch it. Watch Corpse Princess.
Is it a show? A movie?
It is a show. I know that
How
much.
How many episodes?
Enough.
Oh God.
There's enough. Well, that's all the time that we have for today. If you feel like we did this too much justice, not enough justice, which I don't know how we did, either way, or if we just plain old missed a lot of points, got just a whole bunch of misinformation going out there, and we just have no idea what the hell we're talking about, feel free to let us know. You can reach out to us on Twitter at @ThoseAnimeGuys, email us at featuredanimepodcast@gmail.com. Reach out to us on Facebook, facebook.com/featuredanimepodcast. Want to give us $1, get yourself some bonus content and everything like that. We're going to be talking about season 2 of High School DxD coming up here pretty soon. $1 will get you that bonus episode. It's the only way to get it. $3, and you actually get to sit in on us while we actually record it. And if you want to buy yourself some swanky merch and support us like that, shop.featuredanimepodcast.com. And if you want to talk to us in our Discord, we have a link for that in our show notes. Go ahead and join us. We're always hanging out in there. And until next time, I'm Jack.
And I'm Rick. See what kind of shoes we can make.